thank you for the introduction. And I'm going to take you half the world away to China instead of here, Oklahoma. So I'm going to present some preliminary results from a study that we did look at the differential responses to cigarette price by SES among adult urban Chinese smokers. This study is a collaborative project. Co-authors include my colleagues, Dr. Frank Schulke at UIC and Dr. Rong Chen from University of the International Trade and Business in Beijing, and Dr. Jeffrey Fong from University of Waterloo, and Dr. Jiang Yin and Dr. Chen Li from China CDC. None of my co-authors and I have any financial relationships to disclose. I thought I would start with a brief description of the current status of tobacco use in China. So as many of you probably know, China is the largest producer and consumer of tobacco in the world. It grows one-third of the tobacco crop in the world, and consume and produce about one-third of the cigarettes in the world. So that's about 1.7 trillion cigarettes every year. And according to the 2010 Global Adult Tobacco Survey, 53% of men and 2.4% of women smoke. That translates to about 300 million smokers, basically equivalent to the pretty much entire population here in the U.S. The age of initiation of becoming a daily smoker for young adults has been majority of the young adults started daily smoking before age 20, and the average age of initiation has declined from 1980s to 2002. In addition to that, 70% of non-smokers also regularly exposed to smoke. And in addition to that, about 60% of adults notice smoking at their workplace. Since we're talking about the price impact, I also want to mention the change in affordability of cigarettes since 1990 in China. So basically, cigarettes became twice affordable since 1990 in China. So this is just a picture of summarizing, give you a perspective of the problem of tobacco use in China. As you can see, two-thirds of the world's smokers live in those 10 countries, and China alone accounted for 30% of the world smokers. And here is the affordability of cigarettes between 1996 and 2006 for a number of countries in Asia. Countries like Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, during this time period, cigarettes became less affordable, but countries like Indonesia, Philippines, Vietnam, and China become more affordable. And among those countries, China is the one that really affordability really declined over time. It's not surprising that given the problem of tobacco use, we see very very high health and economic costs imposed by tobacco, and 1 million of Chinese men die from tobacco related illness every year, and according to current estimates, by 2020, the deaths would reach 2 million every year, and by 2030, tobacco will cause one-third of all male deaths between age 35 and 69. In addition to that, exposure to secondhand smoke kills 100,000 people in China every year, and not just health costs, but smoking also imposes tremendous economic costs as well. So the annual cost is estimated at $186 billion every year, accounting for about 2% of China's GDP. So what we know, there are ways to reduce tobacco use. Those measures are nicely summarized by WHO in its Empower package. So basically, those are six measures to reduce tobacco use. The M stands for monitor tobacco use and prevention policies, and P stands for protect people from tobacco smoke and offer help to smokers to quit tobacco use and warn people about the dangers of tobacco use, and enforce bans on tobacco advertising and promotion and sponsorship. And the last one is raising taxes on tobacco. The fact that WHO put raising cigarette taxes on tobacco as one of its major measures to reduce tobacco use, it's based on decades of research in economics and public health that demonstrate higher cigarette taxes reduce smoking. This is in the field of economics. We measure the responsiveness of smoker to smoking using a parameter we call price elasticity. Basically, it represents the percent of decrease in smoking due to 1% increase in price. So basically, if price elasticity is 2, that means if you increase price by 1%, smoking will decrease by 2%. And so price elasticity is very, very important because it's the basic parameter we use to estimate the impact of price and tax on consumption, on government revenue, on employment, on local and national economy. According to the research in developed countries, particularly in U.S. and Canada and other countries in Europe, the estimates of price elasticity will fall between -0.4 to -0.8, which means increase price by 1% will reduce tobacco use by between 0.4 and 0.8%, and half of the impact is due to the reduction in smoking participation, and half of the impact was due to the reduction in cigarette consumption among those who continue to smoke. Participation reduction is a result of quitting, for current smoker quitting, and it's also a result from people, especially youth, do not start cigarette smoking, so initiation, and also former smokers relapsing. So reduction in smoking participation really is a combination of quitting, initiation, reduction in quitting, increase in quitting, reduction in initiation, and reduction in relapse. So given the tobacco use, the heavy burden of tobacco use in China, it's very unfortunate. So far, there's only a very limited study on looking at the impact of price on cigarette consumption. There is about only half a dozen studies. Earlier studies used aggregated time series data in basically looking at early 1980s, between 1980s and early 1990s, and find the price elasticity is close around -0.5. And the more recent study using individual level and household level cross-sectional and pooled cross-sectional and time series data show really a wide range of estimates from very small impacts, close to zero, to -0.8. So to summarize the previous estimates, the estimates really vary based on study, and the sample used in those studies also vary. Some are at national level, some at provincial level, and some at local level. And the data they use are also different. Some use aggregated data, some use individual household level data. And the model specification and the estimation methods also vary from study to study. So basically, it's fair to say there we don't really have a consensus in terms of the impact of price on cigarette consumption in China. This study is motivated by the gaps in the research. So we want to really to better understand the relationship between tax and price and cigarette consumption among different populations. So the data we use is from a longitudinal survey data, which is part of the International Tobacco Control Policy Evaluation Project. This is a major project that was created in 2002, headed by University of researchers at University of Waterloo. And the goal of this ITC project is to evaluate the national level tobacco control policies that was specified in the FCTC. FCTC is a framework convention on tobacco control, which was adopted by, I think, 130 countries around the world. It started initially in for English-speaking countries, U.S., Canada, U.K., and Australia, and now it has been expanded to 20 countries. The China ITC project started in 2006, and it's a longitudinal prospective cohort study. It follows both smokers and non-smokers, and because it's a longitudinal study and it followed the same cohort of smokers and non-smokers, the retention rate is fairly decent. It's close to 80%. So here is the picture showing the countries that are covered by the ITC project. And here is a more details on the China ITC project. So far, the China ITC survey has conducted three waves. The first wave is in 2006. The second wave is late 2007 and early 2008. The third wave is conducted in 2009. Basically, the survey was conducted in seven cities in China. Those are the seven cities included in the ITC survey. And as you can see, those are just covered the urban areas in China. It does not include the rural area. And the seven cities, they differ in terms of their geographic location and the economic development stage. So it's a fairly decent representation of urban population in China, but it is not a random sample. The way the survey was conducted is in each survey city, the ITC project would randomly select 10 strict districts, and from each strict district, they would randomly select two blocks to survey. So basically, in each city, there are 20 blocks randomly selected, and in each block, they randomly survey 40 adult smokers and 10 non-smokers. Basically, for each city, the sample of smokers is 800 smokers and 200 non-adult smokers. The survey initially, it was designed so that the non-smokers are random selected, but the way it did, the field staff didn't really follow the protocol. Basically, non-smokers were selected from the families with smoking members. So non-smoker sample is not representative, and we didn't estimate the elasticity of participation because we don't have a random non-smoker sample. We only looked at smokers and looking at the elasticity of conditional demand, which is based on if you're a smoker and how much cigarettes you smoke. So the survey is conducted. It's face-to-face interview, and proxy interviews were not allowed. So here is the brief description of summary statistics. As you can see, on average, smokers consume about 17 cigarettes per day, so it's close to a pack a day. And the inflation-adjusted cigarette price is about 6.75 renminbi, which is close to $1. And the respondents were evenly distributed across three waves. And each city contributed evenly to the sample, given it's not a surprise. Well, the reason that you see one of the city Kunming, is lower is because Kunming was added to the survey only in the third wave. So, and in terms of gender, 96% of the sample was male, because this is a smoker sample. So that's why you see the male really has, you know, dominant in the sample. In terms of age, well, the average age in the sample is 50, so it's higher than the average adult. It's higher than the overall population, adult population in China. And in terms of ethnicity, the 6% are ethnic minorities, which is close to the national average. And 88% are married, and in terms of income distribution, about 15% are their household income is less than 1,000 yuan per month, and 43% are in the range between 1,000 yuan and 3,000 yuan per month. In terms of education, close to 45% of the population has do not have a high school and education, and about one third has high school education, and 13% has, about 21% has college and university degrees. So the methodology we use to estimate the price elasticity, well, actually, it's the conditional consumption elasticity, because we only look at smokers. So so we specify that consumption is a function of cigarette price plus all the other factors that influence cigarette demand, which include social economic characteristics and other factors. And because this is longitudinal data and there's correlations in error terms for each individual respondent, because each person basically surveyed multiple times. So we used the generalized estimating equation methodology to correct those problems. Here is the result. So the first row is the estimation of price elasticity, a conditional consumption price elasticity. And the first column is in the regression we include all the standard demographic controls, but in the first column we controlled for both education and income. In the second column we just controlled for income, and in the third column we controlled for education only. And as you can see, well, the on the first row the price elasticity it's significant, and it's similar across different model specifications. And the estimates concentrated on 0.13, which means 1% increase in price will reduce cigarette consumption among smokers by 0.13%. What's interesting is if you look at the impact of income and education, income doesn't really have any impact on cigarette consumption except for the really high income group. However, that group only represents 3% of the sample. So when we combine the highest income with income above 7,000 and 9,000, you don't see the statistical significance. So basically, it just means that income doesn't really have any impact on cigarette consumption. However, education does. People with higher level of education tend to smoke fewer cigarettes than those with lower education level. In order to look at the differential impact of different price elasticity among different SES groups, we estimated price elasticity separate for each education group and for separate income group. And this slide showing the price elasticity for low education group, middle education group, and high education group. Thank you. So as you can see here, and the price elasticity, there are some differences in terms of the point estimates. However, the 95% confidence intervals really overlap with each other. So, and later on, I'm going to show you the interaction terms, which officially using statistical methodology to test the differences across different groups. It doesn't really show any difference, even though the point estimate seems to be different, but it's not. Here is the elasticity by income group. And again, there are some differences in the point estimates, but 95% confidence interval really overlap. So here is the official way to test the differences across different groups using interaction terms. And all the interaction terms are not statistically different, so which means the price elasticity do not differ across income levels and across education levels. So to summarize, basically the conditional consumption elasticity is about negative 0.13, which means 10% increase in price would reduce the cigarette consumption by 1.3%. It is somewhat lower, smaller than what the previous study find, particularly the older studies using aggregated data. However, I just want to throw a caveat here. We only estimated the conditional consumption elasticity. We didn't estimate participation elasticity. And according to the studies from developed countries, half of the impact is due to participation. So if we assume that the participation elasticity is also negative 0.13, the total price elasticity would be close to 0.3. So that means, well, if we increase price by 10%, smoking would decrease by 3%. So it's fairly consistent with what we find in the developed country, even though it's a little bit lower, but it's not that low. We also find that price elasticity do not differ across income groups and across education groups. And one of the reason that we think the reason that we don't see the differential response to price across education and income group, unlike here in U.S. and other developed countries, people who are with low income and lower level of education tend to be more responsive to price changes. But we don't really see it here in China. One of the reasons that we hypothesize is because there is a wide range of availability of a wide range of cigarettes at different price levels. So what we hear is estimated is the pure reduction. Okay, so when price increase, people reduce the amount of cigarettes they smoke. However, in China, another response is when the price increase, people smokers can switch to a cheaper brand, but still smoke the same amount of cigarettes. So the elasticity here we estimated does not take account the brand switching to cheaper cigarettes. So if we look at brand switching behavior, that will that possibly will give give some insight in terms of why we have a relatively low estimates of price elasticity. And so we looked at one of the questions, particularly looking at how people choose their brands. And 72% of the sample said they choose the brand because of its low cost. And we did multivariate analysis and showed this behavior is really associated with being low income and unemployed. So the reason that low income is not people are not very are just as sensitive as high income individuals and households is because they can switch down to cheaper brands rather than cutting down their consumption. So there are several limitations of this study because the time limit, so I'm not going to elaborate. It's there. It's on my PowerPoint slides, and you can see it there anyway. So basically, our conclusion is even though we did not take into account brand switching behavior, our estimates still show that price is a very effective way to reduce tobacco use in China, and it has implications on the other aspects, particularly the impact on employment, government revenue, and a local economy. And I'm not going to elaborate here. And I would like to thank our founder, which is the Canadian International Development Research Center, for funding our project. And the ITC project is funded by various organizations, which is shown here. Thank you.
Thank you.